We welcome you to the Media Ministries of the Gathering Church in the Countryside YMCA of Mainville. As we love the Lord and each other, we're trusting that God would use us to plant a church in every YMCA around the world. To this end, would you join us? We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and in community groups throughout the week. As you listen to this resource, our prayer is that your love for Jesus would grow deep and your love for others would be seen and heard.
Well, good morning, everyone. How we doing? Great to see you. Hey, if you're visiting this morning, welcome to the gathering. My name is Mike Newman, and we have been hearing from God through the book of Mark. So if you would, turn to the book of Mark. While you're doing that, kids, you can be dismissed. Ages 7 and below can head back to the Gathering Lights Children's Ministry. And while you're turning there, let me just share with you a few announcements. If you're new to the scriptures, you'll just head to the right of a Bible or open your app, but it goes Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, John, so we're in Mark. Sometimes those directions are for me, too, to find it. Two announcements. One, tonight, the youth group and the kids are going to do their kids worship thing, and it's our end of the year pizza party, final bash for the semester, so get excited. Plan to come here at 6 o'clock. The youth are going to honor Josh and Miranda Cousins and the whole Cousins family for all that they've done. And so we're going to have a great night, Cousins. So buckle up. Even if your kids aren't in the youth group, you're welcome to come and thank Josh and Miranda for the discipleship work that they've done for the youth, and enjoy some fellowship and some check it out. Well, we've got enough pizza. If you would, if you haven't already RSVP'd to connect@thegathering.com, so this is Faith's email address, go ahead and do that if you're planning to come. Kids worship in here, youth group in the fellowship hall. One more announcement, and that's book club. So every year in May, we close out our community groups, and we continue to encourage you guys to meet the gathering. Like, kind of our shtick, our saying is that we gather on Sundays and we scatter throughout the week in discipleship and evangelism, things like that. And so if you want to grow this summer, it has to be with other people. No one grows in isolation. And so we call these book clubs to encourage you to pick out a book. If you would go on our website and you go to the discipleship tab, and you go on down, there's community groups, there's like women's and men's Bible studies, and then there's book clubs, and there is listed a whole bunch of books for you guys to pick one out, pursue someone, and then starting June 1st, start meeting with them regularly. I got it. Okay. So let me just give you a quick sample of what we're shooting for. Okay. This summer, there's a couple options for you. One, get this. This is so novel. All right. You could pick a chapter in the book of Psalms in the Bible and get with someone and memorize a few verses, meet over a cup of coffee, and talk about how those passages of the book of... There's different marriage groups. And so if you are married, God has called you to build into your marriage. And one way to do that is to be equipped on how to walk with God as a husband or a wife. And so there are two book recommendations for marriages. One is called The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. Really great book. And the other, and it's this... The title says it. It says, When Sinners Say I Do. Only the humble laughed on that. Great books that's been tested for time in terms of encouraging couples to walk with God and to be humble towards one another with our weaknesses and with our sin. Also, one more, it would be that there's an encouragement for dads and sons to get together, moms and daughters, okay? So there's book recommendations on the website for you guys, like a whole bunch of moms, right? 3-4 moms and their daughters to get together to teach them and grow them and help them, instruct them and in the way of the Lord. And so there's a lot of things to think about when you're a young lady or a young man. And what a great place to look to with regards to looking to your dad or looking to your mom for those answers, because they could bring them the word this summer. That would be a fantastic success. Amen? All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and begin our time together. Again, we're in Mark chapter 4. And I want to let you know that I am a homeowner. I'm a homeowner. I have been now for 14 years. On April 28th of 2010, I bought a home. I've been around homes. I've been in homes, but never until that point have I owned a home. And I remember when I first purchased that home, a few men in the faith put their arm around me and came up beside me and said, "Mike, you've never owned a home before. I want to help you in terms of what it means to run a home, what it means to take care of stuff, how to handle a caulking gun, and how to," our first home we bought in Texas, "and how to care for your land, your grass, your yard." And this one guy, he put his arm around me, and he was, you know, my first home, North Texas. He goes, "Mike," you know, he was wearing boots, and he probably was like spitting and wearing a cowboy hat. I can't really remember all, but like, it's more fun if you think about it like that. So he's like, "Mike, you need to know that this is North Texas. You know what people did a long time ago? They didn't flock to North Texas. They went to San Antone. They went to Austin. They went everywhere else but North Texas. Do you know why?" And I was like, "No, I don't know. I don't know why." And he goes, "It's because of the soil. The soil here is tough. It's rocky. You got to work this land. You got to fertilize it. You got to." As a new homeowner, I appreciated that older man taking me under his wing and telling me what I should expect when it comes to caring for the lay of the land, what it takes to take care of a home and the land that it's sitting on top of. Today, Jesus, in the same way, he's going to come alongside us, he's going to put his arm around us, and he's going to say, "Brother, let me tell you. Because you can do all these things, but you are not guaranteed 100% positive responses. Actually, there's going to be a sundry of responses. And I want to set your expectations when you set your hand to the plow and start fielding my field. Start turning over the soil. Start plowing it." Christian, if you want to work in the field of God, you got to know what to expect. And today, in Mark 4, Jesus is going to lay out some expectations for us so that we won't be surprised. And he's going to do it in story form, okay? These stories, if you're new to the scriptures, are called parables. And all parables mean are these cool stories that have a secret code, a secret meaning in them. And you as the reader, it's your job to unlock what that code is so that you can understand what Jesus is saying. And so let your eyes go on to chapter 4 and look at just what Josh read for us. Verses 1 all the way to 9, Jesus taught us the soils, okay? He told us about soil 1. That when seed was sown, which is the word of God, the Bible, when the very words were sown on the ground, soil one allowed the birds to come by, and the birds snatched up that seed, and that was the story of soil number one so far. Soil number two, the seed was sown and it fell upon rocky ground. And this soil didn't have these plants didn't have roots. It was shallow, and when it received food, maybe a little plant shot up immediately, but then, because it had no depths of soil, when the sun came out, it withered away. Soil three were introduced as the soil that had thorns in it. And when seed was thrown upon that soil, the slowly the thorns grew up and choked out the life of this plant. And then the fourth soil was grain. It received it, produced grain, and it grew and it increased in crop. So let your eyes now find verse 4. Is that it's the first one in the book, and Jesus actually tells us what it means in the second half of it. So he gives us the story. He gives us three verses 10, 11, and 12. And then afterwards he goes, oh, and this is what soil 1, 2, and 3, and 4 mean. But verses 10 through 12, you look at it and you're like, what in the world is going on there? Guys that study Mark, so biblical scholars, they're called Markan scholars. They see this text, soils, okay? The last part, which would be the top of the bun, you know, if you're a sandwich, the last part is the meaning of the soils, which is the bottom half of the bun, right? And in the middle is the meat of the sandwich. And if you can figure out what's the meat, then you can know how to interpret the whole sandwich correctly. Are you following me? Okay. When I was preaching this in Africa, they did not follow me because they don't eat sandwiches in Africa. They eat chapati. And so it was like, how do you time, you know? A tortilla. And it's like, they didn't do quesadillas. And so it was a difficult time, you know? So what we're going to do is we're going to figure out the meat right now. Look at verse 10. I'll read it for us. It says, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. Verse 11 is marked off there for us. It says that Jesus is going to give them the secret of the kingdom. Does everyone see that in their Bibles? It's been revealed to them. And then in verse 12, he starts quoting this Old Testament verse. Okay, let me read it for us. Mark 4:12, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. Basic Bible study rules is that if you're reading the New Testament and if you see something indented and italicized, it's the Old Testament. So New Testament dudes are quoting Old Testament, and your job is to go back to the Old Testament and go, what in the world does that mean and what context does it come from? Okay, so let's go back to Isaiah 6 where Jesus quoted it, okay? This is the great passage. Go ahead, turn in your Bibles. Isaiah 6, so go to the left. It's a really big book. It's a major. And in chapter 6, starting in verse 8, this is what Jesus starts quoting, okay? This is the great passage where Isaiah stands in the throne room of God and sees angels shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then this starts to happen. Here we go. Then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, this is Isaiah talking, whom shall I send and whom will go for us, says God. And then Isaiah says, be sent out in the field of God, and God himself, God Almighty, says, awesome. Well, this is what it's going to be like. You guys ready for this? Here's verse 9. And the king says, he said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and be healed. All right, back to Mark 4. But I don't know if you... I'm going to send you out, Isaiah, and here's the spiritual climate. People are going to have eyes, but they're not going to want to see. They're going to have ears. They're not going to want to listen to you. How'd you like to be sent out into that sort of field? What Jesus is saying today, and this is the point, okay? What Jesus is saying to us, this is the meat of the passage, is that he is likening now to Isaiah's time. He's saying where God's judgment of spiritual blindness and deafness, that was a result of them rejecting God. They were willfully blind. These people, to the truth of God and his message. You see it? This is the secret that will unlock the interpretation of this passage. So now, as we are in the age of soils, so when you are sowing the seed of God's word in the field of God, what Jesus is doing is he is setting your expectation to various responses. He's going to say, some will accept this message and some won't. And you're going to need to have incredible discernment on what it means to reject it, because it's going to come in all sorts of ways. So I'm going to give you three soils of how people reject it, and I'm going to give you one soil of how people receive it. Why is it important to establish this interpretive meaning of people, some accept, some reject? Number one, let me just give you two. It sets your expectation for what success and failure is. Our not control is to sow the seed of God's word and not control people's responses. So we can't control their responses. That's the first one. And number two, it's going to give you discernment that people who are rejecting God are not products of their environment. It's important to say this on the onset, because you're gonna read the soils and you're gonna be really like moved to empathy to say, well, it wasn't his fault. The birds came. It wasn't his fault. The thorns, or you know, he was dealt a bad hand. Rocks and shallow soil. Can't blame him. But Jesus is saying, I want you not to read it like that. I want you to read it as this is rejection of God. Are you with me? Okay, so the title of today's message is Accept or Reject. And we're only going to cover soils 1 and 2, and then next week we'll go 3 and 4. All right, so if you're buying a home, here's what you need to know. If you're farming a field, here's the tools you need to have. Here's what you need to know about the soil that you're about to farm. As you throw this seed, there's going to be multiple reactions to it. Let's meet the first soil. And since the soils aren't just soil, it's a parable, the soils are people's hearts. They're real people. They're souls. We're going to give this guy a name, okay? So I would like everyone to meet soil number one. We're going to call him Willie. He's waiting to respond to God's word. That's Willie. All right, let me read it for us. Verse 15. These are the ones who beside the road, again, this is Jesus now interpreting what soil number one is. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. All right, go ahead, turn to your neighbor, turn to the person beside you, pinch them right above the elbow, okay? It stings a little bit, and ask them, do you believe that Satan is active today and that he really does this? Go ahead, Mary Jo, go ahead and pinch her. Give her a good one, you know? Do you really believe? What do you think the answer is? Do you really think that Satan is at work today? Okay, good, all right. This is not some cute story that we hear in Sunday school and it's not real. This is real. Satan really is working, and this is his strategy. He is keeping people from receiving God's word. That's his whole MO. That's what he's working at. And he realizes that the word of God really does work. It really does change people. And so if that's true, and it is, then he's going to go after the word of God and not let God's people receive it. Not let people hear it and understand it and know it and dwell on it and seek to obey. To swoop on by and snatch it up. Hold up, Newman. Didn't you just tell me that, like, every soil is responsible for their own thing and they are rejecting? It sounds a lot like, and you probably have heard this before, the devil made me do it. Right? This is the classic response to even this soil. I couldn't help it. The birds came by and took up the seed. What was I to do? And your heart just begins to grow in this false compassion towards this real person named Willie, the waiter. So let me illustrate what is happening here. And I'm going to do it by way of telling a story of my youngest daughter when she was 2-3 years old, okay? I had this commitment when my kids were really little that any time during a meal, anytime, whenever, that they wanted to sit on my lap, I would say yes. Daddy, hold me, can I please sit up, lap? I'd be like, yes. Because I knew that time was so fleeting, you know? They don't sit on my lap as much anymore. This is like a treasure, okay? So, one time, there was a family in our church, and they brought us cookies, okay? And so dinner ended, and Hannah brought out the cookies in there. She little nibbles, and then she'd go fly away. She'd come back, you know. She'd eat for like 3 minutes, and then an hour later, I'm hungry. And it's like, sweetheart, we had dinner. I know, I'm hungry, right? So, little bird, okay? So little Lucy Bird, she looks across the table, and she sees this cookie put on my plate, okay? And she goes, Daddy? I go, yes, Lucy. She goes, lap. I go, sure, come on over. And she, you know, all the butter and grime is like soaking into my shirt and pants. I'm just loving it, right? Moms and dads, right? Okay, so she's sitting there, and so she's on my lap, and she goes, Daddy, eat cookie? And I said, yes, I'm going to eat that cookie. She said, Daddy, me, eat cookie, right? And I said, sure, Lucy, you can have a bite, right? And she starts eating that cookie, and that whole cookie, gone, okay? Question, whose fault was it that cookie was eaten? Mine. Why? I waited. It was right in front of me. My response, I allowed Lucy Bird, come on over. I engaged in those questions, and she ate it, and I don't have a cookie anymore. I waited. My delay in decision, or better said, lack of decision, was my downfall, and then that cookie was snatched away. And in a similar attitude of the heart as it relates to the gospel, like the message of Jesus Christ, many, many, many wait to respond. And it sounds something like this. I'm young. I've got time to follow, become Christians, and so I think I might just live my life the way I would like to, and then I'll repent at the last moment. But that is not the way. No response from Willie the waiter. The seed was sown, and he didn't respond. And friends, today, Jesus is telling us that no response is rebellion against God. No response, not responding to the truths of God's word, is rejecting God himself. You see how important it is to know the context of Isaiah and to see that those were times of rejection? Because it would really be easy to be like, oh, yeah, I mean, this isn't his fault, and Satan's powerful, and he is powerful. But you have a responsibility to respond. I remember studying the book of Mark with a guy named Kent Hughes, who wrote a really great commentary on the book of Mark. This guy, he's 70, 80 years old now, and I asked him, hey, Kent, in your years of preaching, years of ministry, how have you seen soil one take place? What does it look like in everyday life? And he goes, well, I can tell you what it looks like in my own heart. This guy was for 30 years placed in Chicago, Illinois, okay? And he didn't move to Chicago already being a Bears fan, and Walter Payton, things like that. And so he was there for really good times in Chicago while they won that Super Bowl in what, 85? And so he found himself against the Eagles, against the Packers, right? I wonder what the defense is going to, are they going to blitz, okay? As he's tying his shoes and getting ready for church, right? While he was at church, you know, he's singing this song, and then he's like, man, just in 2 hours the Bears game starts. I wonder what's going to happen. Are we going to win, you know? Right after church, rushes home, you know, gets a sandwich, plops in front of the TV, watches the Bears game. After the game, he's like talking to his friends and his wife and his family about the Bears. And at the end of the day, he's looking around thinking. Now, side note, like personal note, it would be really easy for me as a guy who grew up in Green Bay, a Packers fan, to equate the Bears as a satanic, you know, illustration. But I'm not going to do that. But I hope that you're catching this message that even the pastor dude who like probably cares the most about the sermon, he allowed his heart to drift and think about everything else besides the word of God. And that is a great illustration of not allowing God's word to sink deep in your heart, not allowing the space, but thinking about everything else besides the word. So for us, three things to close out Willie the Waiter, okay? For your own heart, don't wait to respond to God's word. Don't be like Willie, okay? When you hear God's word, when you read it, when you hear it preached, when you're under it, and every time you're around it, have the heart of, I need to urgently obey God's word. I need to respond to it. Number one. Number two, watch out for distractions. So it would hinder this passage if you just made very little about Satan and his work. So watch out for distractions. Satan is alive and well, and this is his strategy, to distract you from hearing God's word, receiving it, and seeking to live a life worthy of honoring the Lord God. Everyone wants to be used by the Lord in the lives of others. And so you need to be equipped. You need to have discernment that there are willies out there who are waiting. What are they doing? They're not waiting in neutrality. They're deep down, Jesus is saying, they're rebelling. They're rejecting me. Don't be scared about it. Move towards them and call them. Help them understand the word of God and help them to obey it. That's our task. Willie the Waiter. We'll meet him again later. We'll talk about him later. But let's go to number two, okay? The second soil. We're going to name him Rocky, okay? Not Rocky Balboa, just for you to remember. This guy he's on rocky ground, shallow soil, okay? He was shallow with rocks in it. When he received the seed, a little plant shot up. But because he had no depth of soil, when the sun came out, the plant was scorched. It withered away. Okay, let me read it for us. This is Jesus' interpretation of the second soil, Mark 4, 16 and 17. Jesus says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only. Church, look at the emphasis on time. This guy looks like a believer. Rocky looks like a believer. He hears the word and he receives it with joy. And what's the word used here that Mark uses all the time? Starts with an I, rhymes with immediately. Thank you, yes. So this guy appears to be a really joyful guy. He's actually really likable. Understand that we are in the time of the soils, and Rocky is rebelling against God. He doesn't have deep roots because he doesn't want them. Every time he starts going deep, he doesn't like what he finds. And when affliction and persecution come, this guy falls away. Why? Because of, come on. Why does he fall away? Because of the word. He falls away because of the word. How in the world is that seen? How does it manifest itself in real life today? And I think Rocky is embarrassed about the truths of Scripture. He kind of cringes when the Bible speaks of homosexuality, when it's strong on the purpose of marriage, when it's strong on what is marriage, when the Bible is so crystal clear on what is a man and what is a woman, and what are roles within a marriage. When the Bible is strong on what the church is, and when it is clear about all matters of life and godliness, when it gets to that, Rocky gets embarrassed. And it's not an embarrassment related to his personality. Oh, Rocky, he's just shy, right? Do you hear that false empathy? We gotta continue to fight against it. That's just the way Rocky is. No. It's that he doesn't want to talk about those things because Rocky will look bad. Are for himself rather than Christ. His idolatry is for his own glory and in his own words. He just loves. Somewhere along the line, Rocky bought into this idea that the Christian life is supposed to be easy and comfortable and generally smooth sailing. But the Bible does not communicate that for the Christian. No, it actually says in Matthew 10, that you don't have to go there, but when difficulties arise, that Jesus builds his church through suffering. There's two verses for you on the screen. And this is to set your expectations as you're farming the field and you meet soil number two, but also this is for our own hearts as well. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, and read it with me so you can say it on your lips, ready? Will be persecuted. That will, do you think that's a suggestion? You think that's a maybe? Look at verses 20 of John 15. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So, church, when you experience suffering, not just suffering like breaking an ankle or something, but like suffering, like persecution, because of the word, you need to be encouraged and reminded that you're not failing. It's not your fault. Things aren't, quote unquote, going bad because you handled a situation poorly, because you spoke up about the truth, and you should expect it, and I should expect it. But I don't know. Rocky, maybe no one ever told this to Rocky, or maybe he never was in a church that shared this. They just wanted feel good messages. And so his soil remained shallow, but at the core of it, he didn't want to be proud of his Christ and what Christ stood for. He was ashamed of him, and he shriveled, he backed away. I'm going to just close with two things that we've got to be asking ourselves when it comes to reading the soils. Here's the first one. Ask yourself, am I this soil? So that is certainly an agenda of this text. The Bible is active and it is there. Am I Willie the waiter, right? And so for a non-believer, let's just go the first soil first, the Willie. A thought ever come across my mind, like, I would like to live my own life and I'll surrender my life later. I'll wait. You need to know abundant life in Christ Jesus now on this earth and in the life to come. But the abundant life that you can experience now, and you don't have to wait for it, is only found in Jesus Christ. It is the greatest life ever. It is so attractive. It's so joy-filled. It is the greatest journey that you could ever embark upon. Come on. Come on board with us. It's wonderful. We're not there based off of anything that we've done on our own or figured out. That is baloney. We're only there by the grace of God, but we are so thankful that God has plucked us out of our sin and placed us on the road to journey with Him. Non-believer, don't wait. Believer, have you found yourself in a pattern of waiting and not responding to God's word? It's kind of like just coming on and floating right on by. Respond to God's word. And let this morning be a good little nudge for you to receive God's word and put it into action. What about Rocky? Am I Rocky? Non-believer, what about Rocky? God's word promises you that the world won't like you if you receive Christ. But it also promises that if you receive Him, God will accept you in heaven. The world won't like you, but God will. He'll set His affections upon you, and you will be saved. And today, we plead with you to come to Christ, but also let this passage. Believer, have you found yourself in a pattern of being like Rocky? Embarrassed. You kind of cringe and keep quiet about the truths of God's word, saying that, oh, I'm just going to build relationship. I don't want to rattle cages, ruffle feathers. I'm just going to. But at the heart of it, you're embarrassed about the truth of God's word. Today, believer, trust Jesus. Trust Him that His truth and His ways that your ways, that you would do things. So that's the first question. We got to ask, am I that soil? How do we help soil 1 and 2? More on this next week. But we're essentially saying, okay, I see that kind of response all the time. Willie, Rocky, Oh yeah, I could name a couple people right now in my life that are like that. What do I do? Bible trivia question. No one look down in their Bibles. What is the name of this parable? It's not the soils. You're right. It's the sower and the seed. That's right. Who are you? You're the sower. What's the seed? It's the Word of God. Your role is the sower. To sow God's Word and allow God to handle the responses. And so for soil 1 and 2, oh, I'm so excited to walk with you, and your elders are, and your community group leaders are, and fellow members of this church. We are excited to walk with you and help you respond well and minister to soil 1 and 2. But today you need to hear that your role is to sow God's seed to them and watch it work.